Paranormal Fridays. Join Angel and Mike. Let us twist your ear for a moment and share some quality time together talking about the passionate topics within the paranormal spectrum. A loose, fun approach to learn and relate to all our childlike wonderments of the beautiful mysteries of the paranormal. And now, I welcome you all to this Paranormal Friday.
Welcome to a special Christmas Eve edition of Paranormal Friday.
Hello, everybody. I'm your co-host, Mike Walker, and welcome to another Paranormal Friday.
Angel here. Yes, Paranormal Friday. Oh, my goodness. Sunday's Christmas, man.
I know. I was going to say, it's creeping around the corner real fast here.
And aside from that year flew by really fast, we can talk about all that next week. It's just Christmas knocking on the door with this conversation of Paranormal Friday. You know, how do you phase into a paranormal conversation about Christmas?
Yeah.
That's our challenge today, right?
Yep.
Or we could just talk about something else.
We could do that too.
But, you know, you said something real interesting as we were preparing for the show, which I thought about too, is like, wouldn't it be cool to kind of start off talking about what Christmas means, what it's supposed to mean? And then the most paranormal story in the history of stories is Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol.
Absolutely.
And then, you know, in the message of that being around what Christmas is supposed to be around. And one of my favorite movies, you know, I'm a movie buff, and I talk about movies all the time. And one of my favorite movies is a black and white version of A Christmas Carol. It's really dark. It's got Alistair Sim in it. And it was made in like 1950 or something like that. And it's probably the most dark outside of what we would do today, because I think we did A Christmas Carol on TNT or something a couple of years ago. And it was like crazy, but it was dark because the concept of ghosts coming to you and showing you your past. That's creepy. Number one, that's very creepy.
Yeah. That's paranormal.
It's like paranormal. But it's, you know, what gets me about that, it's not just that, Mike. It's not just, here come the ghosts. So you went to sleep, I came to you. And I didn't just come to you. I didn't just knock on your door. Hey, it's Angel, I got to tell you something. Somebody that engaged with you, was close to you, and they're gone. They're in spirit. So their spirit comes to you.
Yeah.
Your best friend, the only person you had a relationship with in your life, who died some years ago, comes to you and says, dude, you're going to have a visitation with three ghosts today. And by the way, do you see this horrible life I'm living in spirit? Yeah. I got chains and I'm like, woo. I'm like a walking, haunting ghost. Yeah. And it's a horrible existence. But my love for you is such that I don't want you to have this existence. But if you keep doing what you're doing, this is where you're going.
Yeah.
That right there, I don't know if I would have survived just that. I would have been like, ah, you know, that's crazy.
Yeah. That's really, really, really scary. But man, I mean, look what that could snap somebody out of, you know, he can really take some time to actually reflect. You know, a lot of people don't have time to reflect, and he was forced to reflect. You know, like you said, he didn't have many friends. He had that one. I think he was like a business partner or something.
Business partner, and they were ruthless.
Right. So they were kind of on the same page with each other. And then guess what? He steps on over to the other side, and I bet you within a millisecond he realized that he had it all wrong. And yeah,
you know, in the story, you could take a lot of the stuff in that story and apply it to the people that are like living here today. Cause in the story, Ebenezer Scrooge was all about money and acquiring things. You know, Christmas is a bah humbug. Why give to the poor? We don't need them. They give no value to society. What's the line? Where the collectors of their charity, they were trying to collect for the poor. Mm-hmm. Remember?
Yes.
And he says something, are there no workhouses? Are there no prisons?
Oh, yeah.
Like, wow, really?
Yeah. He was operating from a real low frequency there all the time.
But can you see that in our society today? Homeless people lined up on the street. It's so bad right now.
Yeah, like a modern version of that would be somebody driving by a homeless encampment and not having much remorse for them because they have it locked in their mind that they're probably all drug dealers. They probably done it, you know, they did it to themselves, yeah. You know. So it's a little different, but the same, but still the same.
You know, I'm in a unique situation where I have looked at my life and I'm like very appreciative of things, you know, I'm happy to be alive, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I feel like everybody needs that moment. You know, everybody needs something to shake them out of being a zombie. And that's what I call it. When you're just going to work, coming home, cashing checks, doing what everybody says you're supposed to do, following, toeing the line of society.
Yes.
You're just kind of walking around like a zombie, just doing your thing. And everybody needs to wake up from that. And if you're lucky, you just wake up. You just wake up and like, oh, you know, I should do more than this. But sometimes you get shaken awake.
Yes.
Right? Generally. And sometimes it's really scary when you get shaken awake. Yeah. And I, that's what happened to Scrooge. You know, one would think, Mike, if you're business partner came to you, that would be enough, you know.
Yeah,
right. That would be enough.
You know, but you know what? I mean, you know, we've had some pretty dramatic things that happened in our lives, and you know what? We're still like, hey, can I get some more? You know, can I need a little more? You know, because we keep falling back into the social programming.
Yep.
And you know, we're gonna need that next visit.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be, the ghost. You know, I think for me, there's two ways to look at this. You know, when we're talking about Christmas, because I'm a Christian spiritualist. I have a very fundamental focus in Christ and the meaning of Christmas. And it's not just about the birth of Christ. We actually don't know when Christ was born.
Right.
And, you know, we have the mythology and we have guesstimations, but it's not about that. It's about the giving and just this heartfelt life. You know, you take one day a year, we go and we give. So a lot of people get upset. They're like, oh, you make it about the ornaments and we make it about the trees and that's pagan. And my thing is like anything that stops us in time and makes us go to Toys R Us and give kids gifts and come together and love, let's do it. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so there's that part of it. But then the other part of it is this really interesting process of the story that he told, the story that Charles Dickens has told happens to many of us during the year, whether it is you get in a car accident, you get hit by lightning. Sometimes stuff happens to you in your life that gives you the opportunity to say, wait a minute. Am I really doing this the way I'm supposed to do this? Or should I be doing it different? And what if they came to you tonight? Not tonight, that would be Saturday night. That's Christmas Eve. What if they did come to you?
I would consider that a divine intervention. I would have my little ears on for sure.
The little ears.
Because, I mean, that's what we're so passionate about. We're so passionate about the paranormal. And someone coming from the other side, giving me a heads up and enlighten me a little bit more, I'm for it. You know, when we were talking about doing the Christmas, I was thinking, I started off by just getting a little history, you know, lesson on it, because to be honest, I really haven't studied, you know, these really common questions. You know, where did mistletoe come from? Where did the Yule log come from?
I want to know.
Yeah, I was, you know, I guess
you have your notes. Do you got your notes?
let me see here. Yeah, it started off with the Romans, and you know, they called it Saturnalia, in honor of the agricultural god. I think the
so it was a celebration of the heart.
Yeah, at the end of the year, you know, and you know, it's so close to, you know, it's right, it's the holidays, and then to top it all off, you got the, you know, New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. I mean, it's just an accumulation of everything that we've been through just for the calendar year. You know, we're so fixated on that calendar, and we always have, right? Ancient societies, you know, that's all they had was the calendar. You know, it is an important tool, but sometimes, you know, you just kind of look at all that stuff and you know, it really does get commercialized, you know, and I understand what you were saying, like whatever it is to get people together, it is what it is, but man, it just gets more and more commercialized, you know, like Coca-Cola is cemented in Christmas.
So wait a minute now. Don't be talking about Coca-Cola. Well, they own Christmas.
They own Christmas. I was just thinking, you know, pretty soon we're gonna have Uber Claus.
Uber
you
Claus. Know? Uber, I love it. I love it. Uber Claus. Ho, ho, ho.
Yeah.
Coca-Cola. It's funny you bring up Coca-Cola because, you know, Every year I give my top five commercials for Christmas, and I'm putting together my list now to release. And Coca-Cola just knocks it out of the park every year. Every year they knock it out of the park. And if you think about it, Coca-Cola and M&M's, they're good too, have connected with us with our heart. And no matter what the society is doing, they always manage to get us right here.
Yeah.
Always right. Manage to get us right there. Versus, you know, the car dealerships who just want to sell us a car. Here, put a bow on your car. There you go. You know. And is that wrong? You know, have we lost what it's about?
It's just been tweaked and peaked, you know, military term there. Tweak and peak.
Tweaked and peaked, yes.
Yeah, it's been hijacked. It's been ransacked. It's been molded and mended.
But has it? And that's just a question. That's what I'm here for. We're just here to question, because it's like most people I know are anti-fundamental Christmas message. So a lot of people are wounded from their relationship with the different religious, you know, organizations. So for them, if they celebrate Christmas, it's Christmas. They say Xmas. And they go, they buy their presents and their cards, and they take some time off. They go out and ski and so on and so forth. So, you know, it's a holiday. So, but the energies, you know, the work that I do, the energies on Christmas Eve and Christmas are so powerful. Right?
Yeah.
That, you know, I always challenge my clients and the people I know to focus your energy towards being in gratitude and then asking for what you desire, because the energies are so powerful, right?
Yeah.
But man, what else you got? I want to hear about the mistletoe. I'm dying to hear about the mistletoe.
Actually, I got a little lost on finding the answer for the mistletoe. I came across this Turkish saint. His name was Saint Nicholas, and that's pretty much where the term Saint Nick came from. But like you said, it hasn't changed that much, because it is about an older man that went around and was really giving to all the kids and generous. He had a bunch of gifts and stuff that he started. So I could see, you know, a little bit of Dutch, a little bit of Roman, a little bit of pagan, you know, a little bit of Turkish. And we got ourselves a melting pot.
Yes.
For the holiday. But I mean, even in the Bible, you know, when you look at the Star of Bethlehem, you know, they were describing how bright that star was. And there's numerous of interpretations of what that star actually was.
Yes,
and as a UFO experiencer, that speaks volume to me. So I found that very interesting.
It's very interesting that, you know, was it a comet? Was it a nova? Was it, you know, something?
Planets, yeah.
You know, what was it? And then if you also, in the story itself, you know, the three wise men, the three kings came and they brought gifts. You know, they followed the star to the manger and they brought gifts for the, you know, for the infant. And a lot of people point to that as that's why we give away gifts. In it's a beautiful story, you know. So, you know, all whether it's your belief system or not, it is a beautiful story about love and the coming of the Christ. And it's a very pagan ritual that we've kind of melded with Christmas, you know, the treats, it's fertility, it's the harvest. And all the stuff that we do for Christmas, it's that one time of the year we close our eyes and just we're all just like, la, 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 la. We're just going to do this Christmas thing. And then we're not going to worry about it. Because even when you go to church service, they have Christmas trees up and they collect presents for the community that doesn't have within their parish. So everybody has kind of come together and accepted Christmas.
Yeah, right? As a time for giving, for sure.
Time for giving. And, you know, I the power of manifestation, I talk about it a lot. One of the greatest ways that you can create manifestation for yourself is through giving, right? Because you receive when you give. And so we should give from the heart, wholly and with great love. And Christmas is one time a year where you can do that. People don't look at you like, why are you giving this to me? You can ask for what you need and you receive it. It's a beautiful process and concept. But to your point, have we lost all that? Because, you know, the commercials and the decorations.
Well, it just depends on how grumpy you want to, how grumpy gills you want to be about it, you know.
Gills.
You can have loved ones that pass away. And you know, we look at all these days a little differently.
Yeah.
You know, and some people get locked into it, you know, year after year after year. I, you know, you can understand maybe a few years. There is not a timeline for a complete heal. There is no complete heal. But you can't keep your thumb on it every, you know, for the rest of your life. You know, there's too much other positive things about it other than your loved one not being there to share it with you this time around, you know.
Oh, you know, that's so good because, you know, we are human beings and we have a finite amount of time on this planet. And that's one of the things that is actually beautiful about being human. You know, hopefully, it wasn't tragic, but that's natural. And so there's going to be a holiday when you no longer have the person with you that you love the most. One of the beautiful things about the holidays is the remembering, right? And so if you're, you know, hopefully, you know, he's not coming back to you like, you know, Scrooge's former
business partner,
rattling chains and warning you that you're going to come up. That's normally not how it happens. But they do come back to you, whether it's through the conversations, you know, my family, we're getting together. This will be year five for us without mom. And, you know, we are finally starting to be able to handle it. It took us 5 years to actually be able to handle it. We've been a mess, but now we're like, oh, okay, we can come together and talk about it. And who's going to make the gumbo this year.
Right. That was going to say,
and all that.
Make mama's, yeah.
My sister Tamala is going to make it. I haven't got there. I haven't graduated to gumbo yet. I've got a little ways to go. But you know, let's go back to Scrooge for a minute, because there's something else that got me that I love about this story is when Scrooge was a young guy, he had a job and he worked for this guy and he had a woman that he was in love with. And he was going to marry her. And then he changed his affiliation from like a normal guy to like chasing money. and he ended up alone.
Yeah.
And at the end of the story, you know, everything happened. I've always wondered, I've always fantasized, I wonder if he got back with the gal.
Oh, yeah, huh? They kind of left us hanging there.
It left us hanging, which is what makes the story good. Because
it's been remade 100 times.
150,000 times. I think they did a comedy with Bill Murray and he got back with the girl at the end of that movie. Right. But in the normal Scrooge, it kind of ends in like, and he lived Christmas well. And, you know, and it's, you know, Tiny Tim didn't die. And, you know, your imagination gets to tell the story on how he lived out the rest of his life. But, you know, love, family, wealth, all that stuff can be yours. But your heart has to be right. You know what I mean? We're watching what it looks like right now in our society when your heart's not right. And that's what that story is about. Is that what Christmas is about? A reminder of that. Your heart has to be right.
Well, the one way to find out is to get it tickled a little bit, and that's to hand somebody a gift. You know, let's say like I decided to create stuff this year.
I know, and they're beautiful things. Do you have one around? I don't have mine in here. Do you have one you can hold up to the camera?
Yeah.
And we're gonna go on a field trip.
Okay. Well, here's a little guy right here that I just made today. Let's see if you can see that.
That is really nifty. It's
pretty one. But yeah,
How you do that? How you do that? I don't understand.
Resin, epoxy, crystals. We've got pearl powder, which is something new that I found that I'm really liking.
What you're saying is it's your craft.
Oh, yeah. I've got a creative bug. I'm always creating stuff. Here's my energy table.
Oh, wow.
I've got a lot going on. I've got something called Chakra Island right here.
Oh, wow.
And
it's all pretty cool stuff. All pretty cool stuff. But, you know, I like to make things. I am a crafter. My craft is usually for myself. I'm not really comfortable giving it to people because I use it as therapy. And so I always feel like it's got too much emotion in it to give away. But I feel like when people make things and give it to you, it's so powerful because this person put their hands and their soul into this thing and said, here, have this.
Yeah, and not everybody and their mother has, you know, the same thing. You know what I mean? You're not sporting, you know, your mom and Billy Bob and all your punk friends have, you know?
Mom, Billy Bob, and the punk friends.
Yeah, everybody, you know, who wants to wear the, you know, sport the same thing that's just on an assembly line, just branch, branch.
Isn't that the reason? Isn't that what it's about? Scrooge and Christmas movies. I'm going to say this out loud. I'm going to say it with no shame. One of my favorite Christmas movies of all time is A Charlie Brown Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
I love A Charlie Brown Christmas because, you know, they spend so much time in Charlie Brown. It's always about shaming Charlie Brown. You know, he was always teased and he's always, you know, bullied. And at the end of that picture, they all came together and fixed up the tree because Linus made him feel bad. and they fixed up the tree for Charlie Brown. And it's such a, you know, you watch that movie and it takes you away. Yeah. And that's what Christmas is for me, is being taken away and not having to just always be in the grind of life. Right.
The stuff that we heard adults telling us, you know, enjoy being a child while you can, because it's stressful being, and you're like, what? You're not trying to hear that as a kid. Yeah.
Dang, I wish I'd have stopped.
Yeah.
Smelled the roses just a little bit.
Scary stories used to be part of the Christmas a lot, you know, here in America. And I think Halloween hijacked it. You know,
well, Halloween's the movie star of scary movies, and scary stories, but there are a lot of paranormal stories out there from the lore of the different regions that we're from, particularly out in the European regions around Christmas. And I don't know if you've seen, there's a movie out called Krampus. Have you seen it?
No.
Oh my God, you have to see Krampus. It's a it's a crazy a Christmas-based horror movie. And it's based off of the lore of a specific region in Europe. And so if you did your research, you'd find a lot of these places actually have not so friendly stories about Christmas. There's a movie that's just coming out or just came out where Santa Claus is killing people. And but he's like a hero, he's killing bad people. When I was young, there was a movie called Santa Claus, C-L-A-W-S.
Right, that's right.
And he was like running around, he was like Halloween, he was like running around killing people. So there's an aspect of scare. And I feel like A Christmas Carol is the Charles Dickens version mm-hmm. of Santa Claus. It's a horror story. Back in the time where that's what they did. They didn't have, you know, movies and special effects and aliens and stuff. They just had the mind and writing, and we read it. And if you really read that tale, it's chilling. Specifically, now this one's for you. Okay. Because of the experiencer thing and the conversation of time manipulation. That's a big conversation now in traveling through time, is that the ghosts that visit Scrooge take him through time, including the future.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Right? Ghosts of Christmas past, present, and future. And they take him to see his future in which he dies, too young, alone and sad and terrible, and give him the opportunity to change that so it doesn't end like that. Then that causes being, I had this conversation with a friend of mine years and years and years ago. Like, were they ghosts or were they something else?
You know, that's where we go back to the whole, to whom the experiencer. We're, you know, unless we were Scrooge himself, you know, let's just say, I know it's just a story that was written.
Yes.
But maybe that's just how he perceived it, the way it was shown to us. You know, that's just the way he perceived it, just like any other experience.
You know? So if they were something else and it's just a story, then what does it make the guy that told the story?
Oh, a creative genius.
A creative genius. Yeah, we could call him. We can put him on that list. We can put him on the list with the creative geniuses. Yes, 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 yes. But is he telling something?
Is relatable it possible? To himself, maybe?
Yes. Is it possible he's telling a story of something that he experienced?
I think in most cases, that's what they do. You're right.
He had, because right. He told some really good stories. He was a good storyteller. And is A Christmas Carol, and it's a little darker than some of his other stuff, and it has a specific tone to it. Could it possibly be that's the case? So you go all the way back. What was the Star of Bethlehem?
Right.
Was it a star? Was it a comet? Was it a supernova? Or was it a mechanical
For it to still be in a conversation today, they had nothing but the sky to look at for a long time. You know, they learned a lot from the sky. I have a friend, his grandmother is dying now, but she's 92 years old and she lives in Mexico. She's never had a television or a radio. And my friend, Filiberto is his name, you know him.
Filiberto, I do know Filiberto. I just saw him the other day.
So he had tons of brothers and sisters, but he was the only one that was really interested in what grandma had to teach all of them. And she was able to just, you know, do her crops and steam rice and, you know, just from the stars. And, you know, what they would do is she would go to a pine tree and gather the sap and use it for flame fuel. And she would get a bucket of water, and then they would go into the bat caves and collect the bat droppings, They would use the water bucket to reflect or refract the light from the resin from the pine tree that they're burning, and they would be able to find the bat droppings, which are full of tons of nutrition, nourishment, you know, for like for cropping. I want to say manure, but
fertilizer.
Fertilizer. Thank fertilizers you. I went stuck on manure there.
We still use the guana for fertilizer too. The bat droppings.
Okay, that's right. That's what it's called.
Yeah, it's called. Yeah.
I just thought that was a beautiful story because we, you know, we rely on so much, you know, we really do. And right. If all that we had was just what God gave us, natural, you know, the stars and trees and we've talked about it before. I think that's advanced technology. We are advanced technology. Anything that we proclaim to be advanced technology is just junk. It's garbage. It's distraction. It's taking time away from what is really important. And like you said earlier, most people don't find out these things unless something dramatic happens in your life. It's, you know, it's, and then if one dramatic thing happens in your life, that doesn't mean that's it. You know, you may come out of that with some jail talk, you know, oh, I'm going to be more passionate with my friends and my family. Oh, please, if I could just get out of this bind,
you just get out of the bind. Jail talk? Is that what you just called
jail
it?
Jail talk, yeah. When I get out of here, I'm going to love my
life. I'm learning stuff.
I'm passionate. I'm going to speak to, you know, I'm going to call people that I've done wrong, you know, and that's basically what you see with people that have near-death experiences and things like that. I mean, they're getting on the phone. They're calling people that they broke up with years ago and just want to, you know, leave them a little, you know, a little love and closure and things like that. It's jail talk. But yeah.
The bargaining, and we, you know, it's always like that, right? It's always like, I promise.
Right.
If I can get out of this situation, I will never do that again. I will eat right. I will live right. I will treat people. I will treat men different. We have all this list of promises that we make.
Right.
And the real gift is you get out. Do you do it? And that's the meaning of the story. That's the meaning of Scrooge. That's the meaning of it, is that he went through all that stuff. And in that one moment, when the ghost of Christmas future is standing there pointing at the gravesite, and he says, can this be changed? Why would you show me this if I can't change? The ghost didn't say nothing. He's just like, I'm just showing you, it's right there. And he woke up the next day and it's Christmas Day, and he chose to keep the promises that he made.
Integrity.
Chose to keep the promises that he made. And we make promises. We do bargaining because that's what Mike's talking about. How many times have you bargained? How many times have you created a sentence? Like, if my dad gets out of the hospital, I'll do this. If I can get out of this situation, I'll do that. I promise you, if I get better, how many times in our lives have we bargained? Right? And at some point in time, you make the decision to go ahead and do it. And so why are we, is that paranormal? I think it can be, because you get to affect the energy of your life and the direction your life goes.
Yep.
You're the one, you're the only one. You really are, you know, destiny, predestined, you know, God puts you on the planet or whatever your belief system is. And then you're in your shoes, you get dropped in your shoes and you get to decide, right?
Yep.
Sometimes things get thrown at you. Like, I told you, you're supposed to do this. So we're going to stop you for a minute so you really think about what you're doing. And then we go, oh yeah, I promise. I'm going to do this. Oh, nah, we do all of that. And then it's better. How many people go, thank you. And maybe for 3 days, they're cool. And then just go right back to it.
Yeah. That's mostly what happens. You know, there's a lot of distractions out there and a lot of time that we really don't have to ourselves completely.
But is that what we want to do? I mean, I'm talking about the real stuff. I get it. You know, I'm up 5 pounds this year, every year, you know, and then you don't do it. I'm talking about the real stuff, you know, the real stuff that means something. Because all the stuff aside, because my neighbors are screaming and yelling and having a good time, but you may hear them. All the stuff aside, it's about being different, being special, being joyous, being a gift when you're in front of somebody every day. Christmas is just a reminder of what you're supposed to do every day, right?
Right.
I mean, I could be simplifying it.
No, that sounds about right. Hey, integrity is everything to me.
Talk to me about that integrity, because you are very passionate about integrity, and like you, when somebody doesn't have integrity with you, you're like, man, I could see it on your face.
Because anyone can talk that talk, you know. Sure, you have to do it. You have to do it. And it's weird. It's something that you could just talk, and then I don't know. It's, you know what I just thought of was those claymation movies.
I loved them.
Those ones take me back. They take me back to that simple time where it was just thistle. What was that? The thistle we used to put on the tree on the Christmas
tinsel,
tree?
The tinsel.
Tinsel.
Like, what's a thistle? Thistle's not pretty thistle? At all. Nothing nice about that at all.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Santa Claus would come to town.
The way the herky-jerky movements of the claymation of back then, you know, and Santa was mean sometimes. I mean, that was, and some of those were scary, you know. Like, what is Santa telling me that, you know, I just because I got a red nose that, you know, everyone's making fun of me, and Rudolph, you can't guide my reindeer tonight, not with that nose.
So you're saying that Santa Claus was body shaming Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer?
And yeah, we
have that.
Pretty soon you're going to be seeing us go through some, you know, where that they're not going to air that stuff anymore, you know.
Oh gosh. There's a lot of stuff we don't see. My husband and I were joking because both of us are into classic. He's a comedian like you. So he likes a lot of the classic stuff. And he's like, when are they going to put the Honeymooners back on? I'm like, they are not going to put the Honeymooners on, honey. We're not going to have no old pal Zoom. We're not going to do pal Zoom. Okay. And you got to struggle to find Bugs Bunny and all that stuff because of what it was like. But at the same time, some of the stuff that's on now, like Rick and Morty and stuff, I'm like, whoa, people let their kids watch this stuff. So, you know, the messages change every year, you know, and every 10 years you're like, wow, it's different. Wow, it's different. Wow, it's different.
Yeah.
But when you think about why we're scared when we hear these messages, because when we're little, at least when I was little, you better be good for goodness sake.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to get a lump of coal.
Yeah.
You want to get a present because you were a good little boy or you're a good little girl. That's as simple as it got. Be good, respect your parents. That's what Santa Claus was about. Because if you're good and respect your parents, this strange guy that you don't know nothing about is going to creep into your house at night when everybody's asleep. Santa Claus scared the crap out of me when I was a kid. Like, who is anybody going to? Man, I love the Christmas morning, but is anybody going to make sure that nothing happens? Because he could be an axe murderer. We don't know this guy.
I know. I was when I totally believed in him, it was tradition to wake up in the morning, of course, go downstairs and see that he has eaten some of those cookies. That was kind of scary for me. That was a reality moment. Like, now, wait a minute.
Santa Claus is evidentiary.
Yeah, I go, okay, look, I'm all studying the crumbs and stuff. I'm like looking at the crumbs like they should look a little different because Santa, this is Santa's mess, you know. But it was a little creepy, you know, like, wait a minute, he was in here.
My father and my older brothers were so good. We would make the cookies. They would take the bite out of the cookies. Sometimes they would make the noises. You're like, is that a reindeer? Sometimes I have a memory of really, like, I was really young and they put little footprints in the snow.
Oh man.
And so at first it's delightful, and then after a while as a little kid you're like, because then they tell you the story. And my brothers were brutal. I had four athletic brothers there, and they were like, yeah, he came in at night while you were asleep. And he like came in and he creeped around and he put these presents under the tree. Look, he knew what your name was. I'm like, oh my God, Santa Claus, he's watching you every day. And I'm like, He watches me every day. How does he see me? He's got magic. There were times when it would creep me out. And I was like, is Santa Claus watching me? And then you had the big go to the mall and take the pictures with Santa Claus.
Yeah, the Santa Claus.
And so I had some confused, like, what's the difference between that Santa Claus that's at that mall and that Santa Claus that's at that mall? My mother was really good. It's like Santa Claus is very busy. So he employs people to kind of help him so that the experience is great. And then I went to a mall with my grandmother in East LA, and Santa Claus was black. And that confused the heck out of me. I was like, well, who's that guy? That's Santa Claus. Oh, okay, I get it. And so at the time, all the Santa Clauses and all the decorations were black. And I have this great memory of my grandmother taking some of her fashion fair makeup and painting her lit up Santa Claus black because she couldn't find a black Santa Claus. And so I share all this because I know this is not paranormal, but it's the stories for me. It's like, that's what Christmas is about, is you sit around, you come together, you do whatever, the family comes over, you open presents, and then all of a sudden you have this moment where we're sitting around telling stories. You do it too, right? Yep. You're telling stories. Oh, I remember when I was a kid, I remember Christmas 18, blah, blah, blah. And you tell the stories. And we've been doing that since Christ was born, telling the stories of Christmas. Right? Anyway.
It's set, it's like the plate set, you know, so we've got a date for it, and it doesn't matter how you look at it. You know, you can look at it negatively, you can, you know, positively. When it comes down to it, we need it. It's like checking in. We need a good little check-in.
I love that, what you said, that we need it. You know, I feel for the people in this world today who are struggling with mental illness, or they're having a hard time because life is hard, or even they live in a country where there's war and it's just really hard. And to take the time to appreciate what you have, you know, and to send love and peace out, because that's the point. You know, where you can't say Merry Christmas to people, you know, you have to be very careful picking out your Christmas cards to make sure they say the right message so you don't offend anybody. And you know, I say Merry Christmas because I'm celebrating Christmas, but then I have to know who I'm talking to make sure I don't make them upset, that I'm not recognizing that they don't recognize it. But I feel like you're right. We need that moment, that day. We can call it something else.
Right. It just needs to come and go, just like it does. We need it, if we like it or not.
Just come and we sit and we give thanks and we love each other just for one moment. No anger.
Right.
Just peace and love. And that's
people come into our lives all the time. Babies, nieces, nephews, you know. It makes you reflect on the special moments, like my little claymation movies, you know, sitting in front of the TV with tinsel on the tree. That's a real sweet memory, you know, that I have, and I love to reflect on.
And then Do you try to find them and watch them?
No, I think I just seen a post on Facebook. They were like, I'm from the 80s. My tree looked like this. And it was just like all kinds of tinsel. You couldn't even see the tree.
We put so much tinsel on our trees back then. And we dipped them. And did you ever get the trees flocked? Remember the flocking?
Well, the white,
My mom got it blue one time. There was so much flock on the tree. It was like blue flock. They had pink flock one year. And tinsel was our family's last name. We were like, tinsel everywhere, it was dropping everywhere. And then you got to clean it up after Christmas. Remember the after Christmas mess?
Oh yeah, I mean, it was Easter and we're still pulling tinsel out the carpet.
I know, like, what is this? He's like, this the tinsel from Christmas tree. Remember the Christmas tree?
You know, the popcorn on a string was pretty neat too. We did do that, and I associated the smell of popcorn, you know, with Christmas too. You know.
My father was in the military, and we lived in some pretty off places. And I say off, I don't mean there's anything wrong with them. They're just like the culture was different, and the animals were different. Like, we lived in Panama. I remember Panama and Christmas in Panama. We did that. We woke up the next day, and there were ants everywhere. And the ants were like buffalo. They were
big. It sounds like Texas. Like,
and they're like walking around going, where's the popcorn, man? She ate it all. Gus Moore.
Was it like the big red ants like they have in Texas? God, oh, my
horrible.
Gosh.
It is just horrible. And I'm not like bugs very much. So I have these memories and I tell these stories all the time. And a lot of them around Christmas. I have a memory when I was in the military where I was on doing this thing with a group of people where we were kind of on patrol or something like that. And I ate this thing and there's no lights, right? Cause you're out.
Right.
And then somebody shined a light on. And I realized when I looked inside this thing I was eating that there was like half of a creature. So I'd ate half this creature. And so I have this thing where I don't like to eat in the dark.
Okay.
And when my husband and I were dating, he would take me to the movies, I'd drink soda, but I wouldn't eat food. I didn't like to eat popcorn. I could eat like Milk Duds because you open the box, you put then you close the box. But like, I just didn't like, I can't eat open containers or plates in the dark. And for a long time, he's like, why? Is there something you want to tell me? And I told him the story and he laughed. He's like, I get that. And that happened around the holiday seasons for me, because parents had sent all these goodies to us. And so we were all enjoying the goodies, but we probably should have sat down at a table rather than sitting around doing our thing. And it's just those memories. And they're so strong at Christmas for me. Did that make sense? I mean, I could think about these things anytime, but at Christmas, they're visceral and they're strong, the memories. And they just come up. The closer I get to Christmas, these memories just start to bubble up. And that's what Christmas is about. The storytelling to me is the big part of Christmas. I think everybody should sit down and just share.
Yeah. And, you know, when you share these stories, you know, the young ones have something to carry on. You know, like you said, like you were talking about the what was it? Your mom's famous dish.
The gumbo.
Keep it going, you know. Yeah, we're always going to keep it going.
So what is the meaning of Christmas for you, Mike?
To me, it has now, what it means to me now, from everything that I've seen and felt, to me, it really is. It is thinking about others and appreciating what you do have every day. It's so easy to take things for granted. That seems to be the case. You know, it's easy. It's so easy to take it for granted. And we don't need something dramatic to happen to us in order for us to awaken and move on. We just need to just be around during the holidays and soak a little bit of it in. And you'll realize that giving really does feel really good, especially when you create it yourself. You don't need to make any company richer. You know, you can keep it in-house, keep it sea level. We know how things get when there's too much money involved, when you got agendas to start pushing and things they're not real anymore.
No.
You know, keep it sea level. Keep it family, friends, and keep it real. That's all.
That's all. That's a lot.
It's not, it's beautiful. It's been marketed. I don't look at it like that anymore. To me, it's the most beautiful things that matter about it. And it's quality time with friends, family. It's giving. It's just taking a break and reflecting on the year. It's like I said, it's an accumulation of the year. And man, these years, you know, we keep thinking, wow, that was a crazy one. Whoa, how about this one?
Every year it's like, look at that. I have to tell you, you know, In my world, I'm a movie fan. I post about movies. I love movies and I love classic movies. And at the end of every year, Turner Classic Movie, they do this in remembrance of the people that we lost this year. And every year that's gone by the last few years, they do it later and later in the month because people keep leaving. Uh-huh. And they literally just posted it the other day for 2022. And it's, there are so many people that they flash by them so fast, you can't keep up with it because so many people have left us this year.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that kind of stood out for me as we went into this year. It's like, wow, people are like getting the heck out of Dodge. People are leaving, like a pow, just leaving us. And the drama of human existence just seems to get louder and louder and louder. And I'm wondering, like, what is it that we're building towards? What's about to unfold and make itself present for us as we go into the new year? What is this new year going to be like?
It's hard to tell when, you know, we're fluctuating, you know, it's, you know, as a species, we're always fluctuating, you know, we peak, we valley, we peak, we valley, we think we know what's going on, we're at the top of our game, we lose it all, and it's just, everything's in spirals, and it's, nothing's linear, you know, this calendar, you know, when you picture Christmas, I just picture it on that calendar, you know, at the end of the year, it's all the way to the right. It's such a physical thing in my mind. And sometimes I just want to erase like what day that is, you know? I mean, as far as how I visualize it, like physically, but it's just like programmed in my mind. Sometimes those things bother me, you know, like even a Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. When I was in elementary school, there was a little colorful dial that we had. Monday was red, Tuesday was orange, you know, and it felt to me by the time I was done with elementary school that I was at, Mondays were red, Tuesdays were blue, Wednesdays were right here at 6 o'clock. You know, Fridays were up here almost 12 o'clock. Those kind of things just kind of bother me. Like, that's programmed into my head. But I guess there's just a way of relating to, you know, it's just a way we.
I'm going to tell you something. You know, I said it earlier, you get to choose how you're going to be in the world. It's just information, right? You know, to be programmed is natural. We program our children because we don't want them to hurt themselves. We don't want them to stick their hands into the fire. We don't want them to walk the streets by themselves at night. Bad things can happen to them. So we tell them things like, don't go over here with a stranger. Don't take candy from a guy you don't know. Don't do this and don't do that. Don't break my stuff because I paid a lot of money for it. We have these things that we tell them. Then we go from childhood to school and they're trying to teach us how to be people. So they're teaching us a number of things. Some of it's true, some of it's false, but it's what we know at the time that we're teaching it, right? Then we grow up and we go get a job or we go in the military and now we got to get taught whatever this person is. So, you know, I hear a lot about the programming and I get it. And I, you know, I've had a lot of conversations with a lot of people. I'm just, there they go again. I'm just a little different in my process because I also believe you have a choice. If the programming that you've gone through is like hypnosis, where it's so bad that it's
unhealthy, yeah,
it's unhealthy.
Affecting your day to day,
take steps. You know, work with a practitioner, work with therapist, whatever you need to take care of it to get it to stop from affecting how you live your life. But you get to choose, man. You get to choose how you're going to be. And you know, going back to the Scrooge story, that's what he did. He was hella programmed, right?
Oh my gosh. Absolutely.
Hella programmed.
Greed, and money. Yeah.
Money, 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 money.
That's what it's all about.
What it's all about. That is what it's all about. I mean, in that's where we are in the society as well. I like nice things.
Yeah.
I can get nice things without cheating people out of stuff, robbing people. I'm choosing not to do those things. But not everybody's making that choice to not do those things.
Yeah.
And the wonderful thing, if you want to go into like the Christ story, which is what Christmas is supposed to be about, it's supposed to be that celebration of the birth of Christ. So if you go into the Christ story and what Christ brought us to, which we don't really talk about a lot, because when it happened, the organization squelched it because no, you're supposed to do it the way we want you to do it. Mm-hmm. But Christ is like, God is here for everyone, for you to engage with how you see fit. He loves you, he believes in you, and he forgives you. That's why Christ came, was to make that our reality, that we could walk in strength and confidence in the light, knowing that God's got our back. Go forth and be fruitful, be kind to people, and kindness will come to you. Don't make money your golden idol. Make love your golden idol.
Yes.
And be prosperous. You can be prosperous. It's expensive to live in this world today. So you have to have money to like eat, put right. gas in your car, you know, those kinds of things. But that's what you're pointing to when you're like, it's commercial, because it's like, we forgot that. Every once in a while, somebody comes out and they do something like, yeah, they got it. But for the most part, we've forgotten that. So I encourage people in this conversation about programming, I invite you to be the solution for your life, because programming is unreal as that other holographic stuff you're talking about, because it's just me telling you stuff. I believe you should do this. Okay, that's nice. Good for you. You know what I mean? That's what programming is. And we're in an interesting point in our society. Everybody's angry and they're ready to rage against the machine today. I don't like it like that no more. We'll change it. But who are you going to change it for, Mike?
Yourself.
Right. Because the only person you can affect. And right. through your example, others change.
Yep. And exactly. I see where you get. Yep.
If you try to change other people, you're just as bad as that programming.
Yes. Ooh, mama.
Right? No, we've done it. Oh, I love him so. If I could just change him, he'd be better. No, you don't get to do that.
You know what? This is really feeling like back in the day, you and I sitting in the office.
I know. But it's the truth.
Yes.
It's the truth. It's the simplest truth. If we could all get that, that's what Christmas is really about. I'm not mad at you for getting presents. I like presents. I love it. My husband gives me presents. I love to give my daughter presents. I love Christmas. I am addicted to Christmas. Christmas is so fun. I go to Michael's. I get my stuff and I make my I love
it's Christmas. Cozy time, right?
Yeah, hot chocolate. Oh my God. With my peppermint. Wife's like,
oh geez, I got a strategy. I put the marshmallows in the cup before the Keurig starts to pour it, so we can start to melt. And then I put the white and the chocolate on the top. But yeah.
Do you put a candy cane in there?
I have not done the candy cane
yet. Oh, it has to be the right kind of candy cane. It's those little thicker candy canes. And you sit there and use it as a stirrer.
Oh, darling, yeah. I could picture you.
You get that little, it's like, oh yes, darling. Could I make you some cocoa? It's so good. And so for me, that's part of the Christmas. But then there's the other part of the Christmas. Like I will be up at midnight, just probably around 11:30, and I do a meditation and a prayer and run some energy for healing. And I send energy out to people. I have a list people send me, or I will pray for people, because the energy, I don't forget that there's the power of the energy that's around during the Christmas period, because that's how powerful it is. And it started on the winter solstice.
Yes.
Yesterday. Yesterday.
Speaking of that energy and stuff, like when I'm creating my Oregon energy, like say for a loved friend of mine, you know, I don't just hurry up and make it like, oh, I got to hurry up and make it and got to be there by Christmas. I've got to be in the right frame of mind. I've got to be in the right frame of energy myself, you know, when I'm creating these things. And, you know, sometimes I'll burn a little incense or, you know, have a little singing bowl, tap the bell and clear the energy of the room. If I'm not feeling right, I'll put that on hold. You know what I mean? Because this is my store is called Ophanum Energy. You know, it's all about energy. I'm all about energy. I love energy. I love other people's energy. And I love it when people can recognize my energy. I could just meet somebody and they're like, man, there's something with your energy. And then that's telling me like, oh, wow, they're receptive to this, you know. But yeah.
I love that.
It goes into my work too.
The beautiful pieces you sent my husband and I one for Christmas, and it's beautiful, and you can feel it. You can feel it when you pick it up, and that's that, you know, the love that's generated. You know, I'm all about people living in joy and love, because I have this thing I say, you know, you talk about our friend Philip Ruto. He probably doesn't remember this conversation years ago. We talked about filters because, you know, he does.
Oh no, Filter Berto, yeah.
Yeah, filter. We talked about filters, and we went from having this kind of conversation about machines to having this spiritual conversation.
Oh yeah.
Right?
That's right, yes.
And for me, you know, we live life with filters, and I use that description all the time. If I give you a filter and you lived your life walking through and experiencing people and engaging with the universe through this filter, then you want to be careful about what filter you have. You want your filters to be clean, you want them to be fresh, but you also don't want them to have negative energy. You want to be happy, joyous, receptive, and in the heart. And if you're going to do the spiritual work, because artists, whether they want to admit it or not, artists are doing spiritual work. The universe is communicating through them.
Yes.
You know, and so your filters have to be good, lest you get taken away. How many artists are not with us anymore? Because they get taken away from us. And we've lost a lot of them this year through self-destruction. Uh-huh. And your filters have to be clean.
Yeah.
And that
everyone deserves a fresh, clean filter.
Everybody deserves
kind of no matter what's gone on through, you know, no matter how bad of a day you had.
Right. And your bad day, remember that thing I said about you get to control? You know, you go into your boss's office and he's like, Mike, blah, 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 blah. He just communicated some information to you. That's really all he did. And you get to choose how you receive that information.
Right.
Maybe he's having a bad day, or maybe you really screwed up. I don't know. But some people aren't good at communicating, and that's not your problem, right? That's their problem.
Yeah. So, speaking of that, I'm sorry. Yeah. Speaking of not communicating and Filter Berto, Philly used to always tell us things like he would love working on the air conditioners and stuff. He loves working on machines because machines don't play mind games. Machines are tell you what's wrong with them right away. You know, you look it up and they'll give you a little error. They're not keeping things hidden, you know. They're not with all that. Sometimes it's taking a break from humans and flirting around with machines is a meditation for Filter Berto.
Oh, you know? Well, the thing, you know, if you walk through life with your heart and your ears open, you'd be surprised how many people in your life will drop little nuggets that you really need to hear. Right? So that you don't have to have the visitations from the ghosts of Christmas past, present, and future, and your old coworker that's been gone with his rattling chains. We shouldn't all have to be shocked, therapied into making a shift in how we live our lives for us and for the planet.
Yeah.
You know, you will get your messages. Have you ever had a need for information and you're driving down the street and you see it in a billboard or maybe a license plate? Or something. So if you allow yourself to be open, you're going to get the information that you need, and you don't need to be shocked into reality.
Yep. You, yourself, and your soul posse, or whoever's guardian angels, you know, as soon as they start to see on the other side that the way you're working and where you're headed with that energy, I think it makes them proud, and you get more and more information. And you're like, you think that was cool? Here, check this out. You know, here, check the Flower of Life out. You know, check the Book of Enoch. That was interesting. Check the, you know, it's just, there's always something.
I got my Tree of Life.
Ooh, yes. Beautiful.
I love it, you know, and I really want everybody to know that, you know, here at New Age Spirit Radio, Mike and I at Paranormal Friday, I want everybody to have a joyous holiday and make your wishes. You know, I believe in the power of wishing and standing on the hill and reaching out to the universe and asking for that big ask. That's what this week is about. You know, what do you want in your life today? For real, not, oh, I wish I had enough money to fix my car. No, I don't, you know, if that's what you need, ask for it. But there's a thing deep in your heart that you want. And your support system, the universe, God, Buddha, the goddess, want you to have it too. Really do.
They're on your side.
Peace and joy is what it's about. If you are struggling right now with shadow talk and disappointment, take some steps to shift your reality and release that stuff and lift your life into joy. Because believe it or not, it's beautiful being alive, man.
Yes. Oh, well said, Angel. That's beautiful.
Thank you. Your turn.
No. Oh, great. No, I thought we were going to end it off like that. That would have been perfect. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. Anything I would have to say at this point would be okie doke. You said it all, Angel, and you always do. And you've taught me a lot, and you've always been that teacher for me. So,
are we going to have a little best friend moment on the air? Everybody can see it. We can have
heck
a best
yeah.
So every year I sit and give thanks to everything that I received this year. It's like a ritual that I do. I thank everything for I received this year, even if it was painful. And then I give thanks for what I'm going to receive. And I'm going to talk people through that process when we do our New Year's show next week. But I want to say, since you said that, I want to say that one of the things I am most thankful for is my friendship with you. And this, being able to do this right here.
Yeah.
Because cool. not having someone to just sit and talk with, you know, it takes a lot of courage to make it public, because this is our public conversation. We decided that this was how this show was going to go. I sat down with you one day and we were at work. We don't work together now, but we were at work and I was just talking and say, hey, I had an idea. And I threw it out there. You're like, yeah, let's do that. Where we just have this conversation. And I find myself looking forward to our broadcast. I find myself feeling healed after the broadcast. I find myself looking forward to, okay, what are we going to do next time? And then people are responding. People seem to love it. And it's so great to have that, this person that I can connect with. So I'm thankful for you. Thank you for being in my life. I know. Now I'm going to try not to cry.
Well, it's really fun and it's such a privilege to actually have the opportunity to be heard on a little bit of a bigger scale. And that's what we're hoping for, is to get more and more people to get on board with this kind of energy, because it is real, you know? And we're here to tell you that you don't need to necessarily experience, you know, something crazy, you know? It's trust it. Trust us, coming from Angel. Trust it, coming from me. It is real. It is real. There is another side. There is more to life than morning, Ralph. Morning, Sam. Hey, you cut me off. Oh, man, I need some of this. I need some of that. There's way more to life than that. And
my neighbor's dogs are growling. That's crazy. I will leave everybody with this. Because what you said was so cool. Think about as you're going, can you hear the dogs barking?
A little bit, actually. I can hear that one. This time I heard it.
As you go through your life and you think things aren't happening the way that you want them to happen, I want you to think about what could happen. That's what this is about. That's what Christmas for me is about. I had a rough year. I got sick. And I'm recovering from a really crazy sickness that makes no sense at all whatsoever. But guess what? I'm doing what I love to do. Right now, this is not what I would be doing if I wasn't sick. There's a blessing on a plate every day if you open your eyes and your heart to see it. So I want to thank everybody for listening. I hope you have an amazing Christmas. I hope that Santa Claus brings you everything that you want, whatever Santa Claus is for you.
Right.
And I will see you guys and talk to you guys next week.
Okay.
All righty, everybody.
Bye, everybody. Bye. Love, love.
Love, love.